Amen. Thank you, Ms. Johnson. I hope you do know that and feel that way. You know Jesus as your Savior. You feel like that one earthly reason was you, that he left heaven to come for you. I'm going to be in two places tonight. Now, I want to tell you, I know what's going on tonight, all right? And I do know. I had somebody even tell me today, I remember Pastor Carter. He quit early last time. And and then they gave me a time. Then they said that he quit by 7:30. And I knew they were lying right then. Amen? Amen? Well, we're going to be in Ephesians chapter number 2, and then we'll be in Psalms 111 tonight. And I know for those of you that are saying, but the greatest of all time is playing in Tampa tonight. And I would argue that the greatest of all time is seated at the right hand of God the Father tonight, amen? And we've come to worship him tonight, amen?
Amen.
Well, now that we got that settled and out of the way, I will not lie to you and tell you that I'm going to try to be brief. And if I told you that, it would only be that it only jinxed me right then and there. All right, so we're going to take exactly the amount of time that the Holy Spirit wants tonight and his word. And Lord willing, we'll be helped, amen? And so I was reading my Bible this week and just the Lord just in Psalms and just, you know, I go to that place for comfort. I don't know about you, but this book, a lot's been sung tonight about different things, and one of those being how marvelous God is and marvelous his works are. And I just tried to begin to, God just overwhelmed me, flooded my soul with the works, the great works that his hand has had. But if you understand the Bible, and I'm going to give you my message in a nutshell and then preach the rest of it, but I want you to get it tonight. God has been moving throughout the ages, and this entire book is his story about God working through the ages to bring his son, the Lord Jesus Christ, into the world that he might die and pay for the sins of the world, that he might redeem unto himself a people that he could that would give him glory throughout the ages, all the ages. In this book, and I mean, no matter where we open it up to, we can find Jesus on every page. And here in Psalms in 111, he begins here. And again, like this morning, it's God's going to talk about, the psalmist is going to write about our Lord, but he's going to talk about what he's going to do. He's going to talk right out of the gate about some things that he's going to do. And before we begin reading, I just want to pray and ask the Lord to help us tonight. Let's pray together. Dear God, I do thank you for your many blessings, God. I thank you again for the great opportunity to stand in this place, to follow my hero. God, I pray tonight that you'd help his people, that you'd help my people tonight through your word. God, I pray that our church would be helped and that the needs would be supplied to face the world for another week as we go out and try to tell a lost world about a wonderful Savior. I pray, God, that you'd be with me. Let me be your mouthpiece. God, Holy Spirit of God, I yield myself the best way I know how to be your servant. We'll ask all that's done to be for your honor and your glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Psalms 111, verse 1, it says here, praise ye the Lord. I will praise the Lord with my whole heart in the assembly of the upright and in the congregation. Now, I think the psalmist here he's genuine. He's talking about, he doesn't just get halfway. Look at it with me. Praise ye the Lord. I will praise the Lord with my whole heart in the assembly of the upright and in the congregation. Now, we saw a young man down here that shaved his head in the bus lot. Well, somebody else shaved his head, but he was willing to do so. Amen. And not just, he only got half a head, but he was willing to go the whole head for the Lord Jesus Christ. And for us as Christians, man, I want my whole heart to be in this thing. How about you? I don't want to be torn to and fro between two loves. No man can serve two masters according to the scripture. And so when I go to praising the Lord, I don't want to do it half-heartedly. I want to praise the Lord with everything that I am. Here the psalmist is talking about that. And I don't want to just praise him with my whole heart. Just anywhere. My favorite place to praise him is in a certain place, in the assembly of the upright. Amen? And in the congregation. When we think about all the places that we like to go, and on a Sunday night when a lot of people that go to church, lay out of church, on a Sunday night looking out at the crowd that we have, I'm thankful for the people that we have and the crowd of the upright, the congregation that God has brought into this place to worship together and praise the name of the Lord. There are all kinds of things that we could be doing in this world. There's all kinds of things that we could. But I hope tonight, with your whole heart, you came into this place. I hope tonight that with your whole heart, you could come into this place looking to praise the Lord with everything that you were. I know a lot of times we come to church and we look to get to be a blessing. I mean, you know, sometimes we serve on the bus routes and Sunday school and all those different things. But sometimes on Sunday nights, we show up to be blessed. And, you know, I was blessed tonight. A couple people came by and told me about somebody and different things that went on. But, man, we ought to always be looking to be a blessing to somebody else. I'm thankful, man, you know. And I'm thankful that we don't have a bunch of people in the building that, you know, sit down and say, bless me if you can. Amen. I'm glad that we're coming, wanting to bless the Lord with our whole heart. He goes on, and now after he finishes this, he's going to go on this long spiel about how good God's works are. Now, I don't know about you, but we could spend the night talking about all the things that God has created, that all that God has made, all that God is in and working through and holding together even till this day. But he's going to do a pretty good job of saying it. So let's read it in verse 2. The works of the Lord are, look, great, sought out of all them that have pleasure therein. His work is honorable and glorious, and his righteousness endureth forever. He hath made his wonderful works to be remembered. The Lord is gracious and full of compassion. He hath given meat unto them that fear him. He will ever be mindful of his covenant. He hath showed his people the power of his works, that he may give them the heritage of the heathen. The works of his hands are verity and judgment. All his commandments are sure. They stand fast forever and ever and are done in truth and uprightness. He sent redemption unto his people. He hath commanded his covenant forever. Holy and reverend is his name. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and a good understanding have all they that do his commandments. His praise endureth forever. The chapter begins with praise. The chapter ends with praise. But all in the middle is the works of the Lord. They're great. They're honorable. I believe that they're rememberable, or their remembrance is going to come up. They're wonderful works according to the scripture. They're done in righteousness. They endure forever. They even promises that if the powerful works that he shows unto his people, he gives unto them the heritage of the heathen. There's so much in this chapter that goes on and out, on and about how God is working among his people. He's worked in the past, he's worked in the present, and he will work in the future. All throughout time, he's going to be working. Now, I want you to turn over to Ephesians chapter 2, and I want you to balance this wonderful chapter. As I read through it, I began to work thinking about God's works. When I think about God's works are great, God's works are honorable. When I thought about all these different things, I thought, man, I remember a place that I'm glad that he was working. Amen. In Ephesians chapter 2, a familiar passage in verse number 1, and you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in times past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also ye are all had your conversation. That word conversation isn't just talking, folks. That's your walk talking as well. Conversation in times past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. I want to just say this, that when you get saved and you get born again, there is not this immediate thing that snaps and everything changes. That doesn't mean that you leave everything of the lust of the flesh. It doesn't mean that your mind immediately gets right. There is working in you that has to go on, growth that has to happen for you to grow up in the Lord. The Bible uses the terminology that we should desire the sincere milk of the Word. I know that sometimes when I preach, I've tried to, you know, my wife, I've desired since I was in college. Dr. Herring taught me that I ought to do my best to put it on the bottom shelf for everybody in the auditorium. And that simply means this, from the littlest kid in the building to the one that's ready to eat a piece of steak, we ought to try to do our best to make sure that somewhere in the message, we put it on the bottom shelf for everybody. Folks, God is a great great, great worker. I believe when I grew up, sometimes people would come up and they'd say things. My dad was a worker. My dad had, he not only would work, but when he got off work, his if I could say his hobby was work. It's what made him happy. It's what he loved to do. The apple didn't fall far from the tree. I'm not happy unless I'm doing something. Amen. If I'm not doing something, I fall asleep right where I'm at. Amen. Amen. But I want you to know, work is not a four-letter word, a dirty four-letter word. It's something God created. It's God, something God instituted and did in creating us and is still working through us today. And also for us, if we could just kind of put it in perspective, before sin happened, he gave some work for us to do. Now, I believe that there's a time of rest. I think we can go through the scripture and we can look back at the Lord Jesus. And he took time and told his men, let's go apart from these people. Let's go apart and rest. And I've heard people, sometimes you need to go apart before you come apart. Amen. I believe there's truth in that as well. But I know this, when he desired to take time, when he planned time on his way, there was more work to be done. And he didn't turn people away. He stopped and did the work that was needed right then and there. One of the things for us, we've got to understand that God gives us work because sometimes the work works on us. Amen. Most of the time when I've been helped and I've grown in this life was when someone asked me to step up and to grow in an area of ministry. And when I beg God to help me grow up in these things, to help me to grow and to be what these young people, when I was a youth pastor, God help me. When I worked on a bus route, God help me to be what these teenagers need, these bus kids need. God help me to be what this Sunday school teacher. I remember back when I was a Sunday school teacher, I had the 9th and 10th grade boys, and I loved them boys, and I did my best to study the Bible and to teach them. And I was blessed when I returned to Landmark and Nathan Pitts came up to me and he said, boy, he said, I just wanted to tell you thank you for teaching Revelation when you were to a 9th and 10th grade boys class. He said, I took all those notes and I kept them in my Bible. And when Dr. Carter came down and gave the test, boy, I had the answers lined up in my Bible. I knew, amen. And you know what I did? I'm going to be honest with you. I was in class and Pastor Carter was teaching me and I was showing up on Sunday and I was teaching them. And I'd learn some more and I'd dig and study for myself and then I'd go give it to them. And I was growing up in the faith and they were growing up in the faith because God allowed me to be a part of his works. God's still working, folks, in and amongst us, and his power is still there. It sounds so much like this morning, but God is just that good. Do you know God is not, I know that I've heard that people say, well, God took a day of rest. That's because everything was good. Folks, we're still in an age of sin. People are still dying and going to hell, and I don't believe that we can look around and stop and say, it is good. Since sin entered into the world, there's not been a time where we could say, yep, it's good. There's never been a time that in our Sunday school classes and all the other places that we could stop and say it's good enough. Amen. Amen. For us, you say, Brother Parsons, boy, what does the Bible have to say about that? Well, it tells us all about how he wants to work on us. He says in verse 4, I mean, he talks about how he quickened us when we were dead in our trespasses and sin. And when we were still, I mean, we had been that people of lust and of desires of flesh and the mind and all these things. And then it says in verse 4, but God. And I've heard Pastor Carter say more than once, that's crossing sides of the street when you hear that but. It's changing lanes, folks. But God, when God showed up, who is rich in mercy for his great love wherewith he loved us. That great love I underlined and I thought about one of, and if you were taking notes, the greatest work of God is his work of redemption. The greatest work of love was God's work of redemption. God's greatest work in all the world is not this earth because he's going to purify it by fire. God's greatest work was his great love for us. If we were to turn back to the first chapter, and we won't take time to do that tonight, but we would find that all three parts of God, God chose us. I mean, all three parts of God had something to do with our salvation. God the Father chose us before the foundation of the world. Jesus Christ redeemed us by his blood. And then the Holy Spirit seals us into the day of redemption. What a God that we have. What great work goes on just to save us and seal us until he comes back for us. This great love wherewith he loved us in verse 5, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace are ye saved. I don't believe. Sometimes we blow by that verse and we don't understand the immensity of what happened in the work of God right there. And even the reconciliation of God that had to happen for God to reconcile us with his Son. Even when we were dead in sin, hath quickened us together with Christ. That God who is so gracious and so merciful and so forgiving sent his Son to die on Calvary to pay for my sin and for your sin. And sometimes, and you say, why are you preaching this, Brother Parsons? I mean, after Anniversary Sunday, we've been working. Amen. Amen. Why would you preach this after all those things? Because sometimes, I really believe this, sometimes when we've worked, sometimes when we've done all, sometimes when we've met our goals and shave our heads, sometimes when we, have prayed and God has answered prayer, sometimes we think we did it. Sometimes we think we had a part in it. Sometimes we would think it's because we're good instead of God being good. Sometimes we think it's because of something that we did that God did. No, it's because of what God did in us and through us. Don't ever get a big head. Don't let yourself get out of whack with this thing. It'll mess a Christian up. It'll make a good Christian a Pharisee. Amen. I think in it's better termed in the South a Pharisee, because we get farther and farther away from God when we get our head built up and big about, look what I've become. Yeah. Because I'm saved. Look what I've become because of this. You know, I think sometimes when we, in the Christian life, if we just would stick in the book and just realize all that we are in Christ, we'd stay so humble. We'd stay so close to him. We'd stay so close because we don't deserve anything that we've gotten, folks. We don't deserve to be saved. We don't deserve to be able to serve God. We don't deserve to be able to show up into his house and be not the people of this world, but be a peculiar people, a royal priesthood. We don't deserve to be any of that. Not a called out assembly by the Lord Jesus Christ. We don't deserve that. But boy, I sure enjoy it. I'm sure glad for it. I sure want to show up and praise God's name for what he's done for me. He could have just saved me and never left me with a church. But boy, you say, Brother Parsons, you don't miss your family? I love my family. I love my blood. But listen, this is my family. This is where I go for support. This is where my children feel at home. This is where I want to be. I want to come into the assembly of the family of God week after week after week. I need Wednesday night to be an uplifting encouragement because I've been away from my family for several days. I need it. I need the preaching. I need to be reminded that Jesus left heaven for me, amen? And he reached way down and he drug me out of the miry clay and the pit that I was in, and he set me upon a solid rock. And and he didn't just sit me up, but he cleaned me up. And then he put me to work in his great work, his marvelous work. He's honorable. Do you know that's honorable? For somebody that shouldn't ought to be working for God, boy, he cleaned us up and let us represent him. Man, I tell you, I think about, he says, and hath, look at verse 6, he says, and hath raised us up together and made us to sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. I've heard many people preach upon the verse, but I'll say this, hath raised us up, like it's already done, folks. In God's timeline, we are caught up in the nasty now and now and living inside of time, but I have a God that is not shackled by time. And he didn't just see me saved and cleaned up on this side, and someday he sees me seated he sees me seated with his Son. He sees me seated in heavenly places with the congregation of the upright, according to Psalms 111. You say, Brother Parsons, is it really like that? I believe that when God looks around, he didn't just see what's going on tonight. He sees all the way into the future and sees me seated there in heaven. When I got saved, I got the blessings of God, and not just the blessings of God, but just like it was already done. I believe this book, and I believe this book enough that I want God to keep on working on me. He goes all the way through this and gets us excited. Verse 7, that in the ages to come, See, he's talking about time. That in the ages to come, he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. When we talk about the church and we talk about all the wonderful things that heaven holds in the mansions that we talked about this morning, and we didn't take time to talk about the streets of gold and the gates of pearl and all the things that we could talk that are so great about heaven. And I mean, we could layer it on and we could talk about all those things, and we could even say tonight that the greatest thing is going to be meeting Jesus face to face. But heaven is going to be so much more. You know, just a little piece of being able to take time. And for me, what God laid on my heart, my pastor is my hero. And I love him. And I thank God for him. And I thank God for his service. I thank God for the training that I received, not just in college, but how he took time to mentor me and to show me things and to talk through things with me and to help me. Sometimes to whack me in the back of the head and go, "Don't think like that." And I mean, just help me as I went along in this life. And I thank God for that. And just a little bit of time that we got to dote on him. This verse makes me think a little bit about that, that God, I mean, listen, I know we're going to go to heaven and we're going to praise Jesus' name and we are going to bow down before him and we're going to sing a song to him. And I mean, praise his name. But here I see that in the ages to come, that he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us. The Bible says that when we get to the marriage supper of the Lamb, that he's going to gird himself. Listen, friend, I don't want to have, I can tell you right now, if I could have my request, I'd like to serve Jesus when I got to heaven. I'd like to be the one that girded on the skirt, amen, and put on just put something on to keep my robe clean and walk around the ribs from Sonny's and serve everybody, amen. A little bit of brisket. Can I get amen right there? Amen. Not chopped, sliced. Amen. And if you want a little sizzling sauce, go with it. But you say, Brother Parsons, he's going to gird himself. Yeah, he's going to gird himself and serve. Listen, I see the love of God, not just in salvation, but all through the ages to come. God loves us. And God not only loves us, but he sent his son to die for us. And the Lord Jesus loves us so much that when we get to heaven, that place that he has prepared for us, he's going to go sit right here. So, you want sweet tea? Amen. And I'm going to go, "Don't let Pastor Carter know, but I want half and half." Amen. I'm just here to tell you, folks, that's how good our God is. That even when we get to heaven, it ain't done yet. He's so good to us. He goes on and he tells us about his kindness and through the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 8, "For by grace are you saved through faith. And that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God." The greatest work of God that we find in redemption, the greatest work of God that we find there is a great gift from an almighty God. You know, he doesn't make us work. You know, there's nothing on earth. I mean, almost everybody. There's no free lunch here. There's nobody that's going to, you know. Now, I've heard of all kinds of things, and maybe you think that that some of these checks that have been coming, that they are trying to stimulate the economy, which I'm not sure that it's doing. Amen. All those things, that ain't free money, folks. Amen. Amen. The bill's going to come due someday. I don't want to get off on it, but just keep your mind right about that kind of thing. They took money from you to give back to you. That ain't a free gift. But when I was destitute and without the ability to redeem myself, God sent his son to die on Calvary to pay for my sin. And knowing that I had nothing to give in return, knowing that no matter how good I was, I could never earn it. Even at my best, I could never work up enough. I could never pay back. I could never pull myself up by my own bootstraps. That same God said, "I want to give it to you as a gift. I want you to have it. It's why I went to the cross. It's why I paid for your sins. It's why I created you, to bring me glory." Do Do you know sometimes, I don't think we get it, but you know, just in a free will acceptance that Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life, we glorify His name. Just in a, just coming to a place where we say, I believe that He is the Son of God, the only begotten of the Father, that brings praise and glory to His name. It's a good first step in the right direction. But then He doesn't just leave us. It's not of works, lest any man should boast. He didn't want us to get a big head. He gave us the gift of salvation so none of us could poke fingers at it. Well, my works were better than your works, but He let you in by the skin of your teeth. No, folks. Every one of us come by way of the cross and the free gift of salvation through the Lord Jesus Christ and His finished work on Calvary. Every one of us. And then in verse 10, for we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus. Of all the works that God has had, of all the works, the ones that are most written about in Scripture are people. You can read and you can read about how He created the heavens and the earth, but that don't make up most of the Bible. Right. This Bible is recorded history of how God worked through men over and over and over and over again, how He worked on them, how He redeemed them, how His Son came to save them. And then I thank God that He says here that we're created in Christ Jesus unto good works. You know that we've established fairly well that we cannot work our way to heaven. That Jesus did all that needs to be done for salvation to be mine and to be yours. But that workmanship that I am and that you are, that person that is bought with a price, 1 Corinthians chapter 6, amen? That person that's bought with a price, even he says this, do you realize in that verse he uses this terminology that he bought your body and your spirit, which are God's. When he purchased you in salvation, he laid claim to your body and your spirit. Because he quickened you with that spirit. Because that spirit was dead in its trespasses and sins. And as a never dying soul, we should be forever thankful to be purchased by a holy God. We ought to seek to serve him. The one thing he wants is for us to glorify him through good works. You say, Brother Parsons, what are good works? Sometimes I believe that we... good works, and hear me well as I give you this, all right? I want you to understand this. A strong church like this, you know, this church, a church like this ain't everywhere. Amen. All right? I mean, we need to be thankful for what we got, folks. Amen. But a strong people are an outward sign. A lot of times people jump ship and they jump ahead on good works and they want to do something that other people can see. Because they want to make the preacher happy, or because they want to make their friend happy, or someone that led them to the Lord happy, they jump ahead on good works. And some of the greatest works that we can do in this life is have a daily time that God talks to us and we talk to Him. And so many times in the Christian life, people forget to do those good works that, I mean, are working on me. Because I'm His workmanship. And they'll go do outward things that other people can see so they can receive praise of others. Folks, I'm not trying to get after you. I'm trying to help you tonight. Amen. The most foundational things of the Christian life are some of the most important things. God really desires to have a relationship with you. He sent His Son to die on Calvary to purchase you back into Himself so that He could have a two-way relationship, talk to you and you could talk to Him, so that you could walk together in this life and then you could go out and reach others. But don't forsake one for the other. Both are good. Both are great works. Both are things that the Christian needs to be done in this life. He said, which God, look at it here, it says, in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. A daily walk with God is paramount to being a successful Christian. It takes three to thrive. I've heard that my whole life. I believe it. Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night to stay strong. But to really, I mean really, grow in the Christian faith, you ought to be in God's Word every day. Amen. You ought to be talking to Him every day. So many times the Christian life is strong out of the gate. Run, 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 run. And then it's not even a run. It doesn't even slow to a walk. It slows to a walker. Of our fulfilling the things that God wants from us every day. You say, Brother Parsons, you're making a lot about nothing. No, folks. The deep things of the Christian life are found in a daily walk with an almighty God. If you walk with God daily, you won't have a problem wanting to tell others about Him. If you're with God daily, you won't have any problem serving Him when you're called upon in service. If you walk with Him daily, listen to me, I'm here to tell you folks, He will send people by your path to hear what you got from Him that day. We need it. You know, I need you to walk with God because sometimes I need encouragement. I need you to walk with God so sometimes you can send me your verse of the day. You say, you're the preacher. You don't need encouragement. That's a laugh. Amen. You're the preacher. You're always in the Bible, yes. But I'm a man just like anybody else. And there are times when I read the Bible and I beg God, God speak to my heart, God speak to my heart. And I hit my marks, but it's somebody else that day. I was in the book, but somebody else will say, man, this gave me a blessing today. And it'll just, it's a shot in the arm. Hey, folks, every one of us, God gave us a church and a family of God to walk together on this side of heaven until He comes back for us to fulfill the Great Commission. But we're His workmanship. Let Him work on you every day. Walk with Him every day. And then when He calls upon you, on an anniversary Sunday to serve hot dogs. Amen. Serve hot dogs. When He calls upon you on a Sunday to change diapers, that's not my calling, but change diapers. Say, Brother Parsons, you really believe all those things? Man, I believe that. I believe God is so good to us to save us, to die on Calvary, and to pay for our sins. The least I owe Him is to keep in touch with Him every day of my life. The least I owe Him is to give my all for Him, everything. I love Him. The great love, the more that I've grown in the Scripture. I remember, and I'll leave you with this. I remember a preacher saying that, I wrote it down in one of my old Bibles, and he was preaching, and he said, the colored sunsets and the starry heavens and the beautiful mountains and the shiny seas are not half as beautiful as a soul that is serving Jesus out of love in the wear and tear of everyday life. You are His workmanship, folks. Some of the greatest works in all the world of God are sitting in this room right here and have sat in this room. Some of them already gone to heaven. Some of the greatest works of God. Sometimes we look at the stars and we think they're something else, but God's going to wipe them away all day, one day. Some of the things that we think are really something, some of the seven wonders of the world, aren't a whole lot to God. But He went to Calvary and died for you. He went to Calvary and died for me. You mean something to Him. Maybe we ought to hear from Him every once in a while in His Word. Just a personal time, just me and Him. Maybe we ought to pray with Him every once in a while and walk with Him. If you bow your heads and close your eyes as we close out tonight, this is for our home, folks, but man, maybe you're here and you're not saved and you don't know if you died today that you go to heaven. We don't want to quit tonight without giving you an opportunity to be saved, to come to the front and accept this Jesus that we've been preaching about tonight, the one that loved you and died for you so that you could go to heaven. If you're here tonight and you don't know Christ as your Savior, would you slip your hand up and say, "Pastor, pray for me. I'm not sure that I'm saved." Would you slip it up and let me pray for you, one anywhere in the building tonight? As a Christian tonight, would you slip your hand up and say, "Brother Parsons, pray for me. Preacher, pray for me. I love the Lord and I need to walk with him every day. Man, something you preached tonight spoke with my heart." Would you slip your hand up and let me pray for you tonight? Amen. I appreciate the hands. Well, when we stand, when you come to the altar and talk to God about it, make a commitment to him. Don't have to be long. Maybe it's just a verse a day, something that you know you can keep. But come and talk to him about it. Stand to your feet, if you would, with me, and I'll pray, and then we'll begin to sing. God, I pray you'd help us. Help God's people to do what you want them to do tonight. Well, thank you for you. In Jesus' name, amen. Brother Burke, lead us.
All to Jesus I surrender. All to him I freely give. I will ever love and trust him in his presence daily. Take me, Jesus, take me now. I surrender all. I surrender all. All to thee, my blessed Savior, I surrender.
Sometimes reading the Bible and praying, the simplest things in the Christian life, the things we know we ought to do, are some of the hardest things. And while people are playing a Super Bowl for what would just be bragging rights in this world, every day, sometimes being what we ought to be and walking how we ought to walk is a Super Bowl every day of the Christian life. And sometimes we don't think about it that way. But I want to show up and play. And I sure don't want to show up and play every day for the Lord Jesus without having practiced first thing in the morning. David used the terminology, he said, in the mornings and in the evenings. And I'm going to be honest with you, folks, that won't hurt you either. First thing in the morning, start your day with him before you close your eyes at night. Walk him with him then too. Amen. God's been so good to us as a church, as a people, and we are known all around the world as people of the book. Wouldn't it be a shame if we lost our testimony? I mean, we know what book to hold up, and we know how to sing about the book. Boy, I want to be people of the book because we know the book, because we are in the book. Amen. Well, I thank you for being here tonight. I know that I kept you 5 minutes over, and some of you have probably already checked the score. But I hope something that was said tonight helped you. We're going to close out in prayer because we do have the fellowship right after. We encourage you to come over. There's no certain way you got to come into the building, and it's all laid out at the front. So if you can just shoot straight over, you're welcome to come and eat with us. But we'll go ahead and pray and ask the Lord's blessing on the food and also for safety as we go home. Brother Dylan, would you pray for us?
Dear Lord, I thank you for this day, Lord, that you gave us, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for bringing us to your house safely, Lord. Just thank you for everything you've done for us, for dying for us. God, Lord, just please help us to have a good relationship with you, Lord, because you want it. You want a relationship with us, Lord. And just please bless us as we go home, Lord. Keep us safe. In Jesus' name, amen.